Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, broadcasting to you live from an undisclosed location in the Mile High City. Now, for your ears' pleasure, Michael Amadei and JT.
But write one or two indicative words for the future. But I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. At this moment, you're joining a community of poets, writers, lovers of the spoken word. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic. The November 20th, 2020, 11-20-2020. Welcome. I am one of your hosts, Michael Amadei. I'm sitting virtually across from my co-host, producer, man who keeps everything moving, Mr. JT. How are you, sir?
I am well. How are you?
I'm doing very well. You know, this is a... It's just one of those things where here in Colorado, things I'm basically everywhere, but things are getting pretty intense as far as with the virus and all of that. So we are no longer in the same studio again, but I think we did find a way we can kind of switch things up a little bit because the last few weeks you've been the one who's been talking to the callers. This week I'll be taking the calls and then sending it through. So hopefully this will work out well.
My plan has come to fruition.
Hey, I am completely, no, you could have just said something.
Yeah. Cause I don't think that way.
I know it's we're completely fine, but I'm happy to see the people who are in the chat room. You know, I think this will be a wonderful evening here. We have a few special things that are going to happen besides the poetry, which is actually the marquee thing. That's the special thing that always comes up in this show. But the other special thing we're doing tonight is we are unveiling the identity of this month's Poet of the Month. Oh, it's very true, and we're going to do it right before we go to the call-in segment here, because
we do that
because we want to make it so people can find things in case they want to read.
That's right.
I think that is the right way to do it, as JT pointed out a long time ago.
Yes.
So let me ask you, JT, how's your week been, my friend? How's everything going with you?
My week's been interesting. The hospital is ramping down on certain things, ramping up on other things. You can almost cut the stress with a knife, or should I say scalpel? Sorry, I couldn't help myself.
It's not intense until you can cut it with the spoon.
Oh, that's true.
Because it's dull, you twit, it'll hurt more.
That's right. Yes, Amanda, it is incredible. And I think Christine read a stat just before I came back to you, Michael. 1 in 49 in Colorado are contagious.
Yeah. So the thing I found out was, so I went into quarantine last Thursday night.
Yeah.
The Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, right there, in three different places, I had been exposed in each place individually. It's just that we knew about the one on Wednesday the fastest.
Yeah.
So pretty crazy. You know, but everything's, I'm still good. Things come back negative. I'm feeling good. So, but you know, our thoughts and our prayers and everything, really are for everybody who's going through this and all the families that are going through it, and sincerely, not just a thoughts and prayers, but really, we really do extend our thoughts to everyone. And for everybody who is working in the medical front line, JT, you included, Christine, Amanda, you know, we know that that's something that's really big. I'm still supposed to be in school technically, not this next week, but the week after I'm supposed to go back. So we'll see, huh? Yes, bring on the antidote. You know what? I think we can all agree on that part. All right. So, Amanda.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry to hear that.
I am so sorry, Amanda.
Yeah.
I thank you for doing what you're doing, though. I really do, really do appreciate you guys. Because, man, every day just touching that. I know you're protected, but still, you got to. Anyway. Playing in the lab is fun.
But. All right. So here's an interesting thing that's going to be happening tonight. Let's move off this topic, right? Yes. Because we all know about where this is. So I'm going to be the one answering the calls tonight, which means things could get a little crazy.
Oh.
Things could get a little bonkers.
Oh?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You never know what could happen. Something crazy. Isn't that the way that P. Diddy used to like tell everybody things, like to watch things on the MTV Music Awards? He's like, something crazy is going to happen.
Yeah.
You got to watch the performance.
Yeah.
That's how I feel it's going to be.
Rage Against the Machine climbing the set. Sorry.
See, why didn't Rage Against the Machine do the thing that Kanye West did? I think it would have been way better.
They climbed the set.
Oh, I remember the drummer, but he's a drummer. We expect that kind of thing from drummers.
Yeah, and I expect Kanye to do what he did.
So there we go. So now we're all even.
All right. Okay. We're all good here.
Now, Dennis.
Yep. We're going to capture that. I've got my video recording. I'm waiting for Michael to start twerking.
I don't twerk, but spinning on my knees. That's a new thing. I think I could figure that part out.
Okay.
All right. Anyway. So, all of that aside, we're going to get into kind of what's going to happen for tonight. Most of us know this, but just to reiterate, we're going to have multiple segments. We need 5 unique callers each segment. Depending on how the response is, if we go all the way to 5 in segment 2 and we feel like there's room to do a segment 3, we will do so. However, if we don't, we will go and trigger what's called the return engagement. And then that means that you can call in, share anything. A new piece if you'd like to, or another piece if you'd like to, or if you are just listening, you want to call in for the first time, you can definitely do it there also. So what do you think, JT? Should we unveil the identity or should we do the rules first?
Rules.
Rules? Okay. Rules. So here's some basic, simple rules for the show. Rule number one, no hate speech. We've never done that on the show. We never will. Rule number two, please try to keep it PG-13 or less. It's just a way we can keep it like a safe place for younger people and families to listen to. And we want them to be able to enjoy poetry. Rule number three, please keep your work no longer than 3 to 5 minutes in length. And the reason for that is it's just good for the flow. And it's also respectful to the other listeners and the other poets. Rule number, what is this now? Rule number five, please have your poems ready when you come on the line. That's also just another respect thing as well. Rule number six, did we really have this many, or am I just throwing out numbers?
You're throwing out numbers. It's awesome.
I can't read them here, and this is an outdated.
Do you not have the outdated chat room?
Well, and you also have the outdated chat rules.
Well,
in the chat room.
Well, the only one I don't have in there is self promotion.
Well, hold on. No, you get two. Two. And then the next one is please, just like any cool forum, do not engage in self promotion. And you know, if you've got something cool coming up, mention it. That's totally fine. But if we're just starting to just go off and just talk about all kinds of things that we're doing, we've noticed it doesn't really work. People kind of check out, and it's just not a great, it's just not a great, you know, look and a great feeling for the community here. So let's just not do that. Right. So just keep self-promotion to a minimum. Next rule after that is we love your comments. We love your suggestions. However, we're doing a bunch of stuff here as you can hear, Gigi and I just talking over the microphone because, you know, here we are. It's the only way we can communicate right now. So if you want to send us a message, if you have an idea, please send it to us, worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com or in the contact form. It's just a better way for us to get it. We can think about it. We can process it. We can talk about it. And we will add things together. Thank you for sending those to me, JT. I appreciate that. Now,
better late than never, right?
Hey, we're good. We are good. All right. So we are going to be heading in now. Well, hold on.
We got to do it.
We've got to do it now. Yeah. We've got to announce the identity of our illustrious poet of the month. All right. Now, the poet of the month is a special, special thing, I find. And it's something that people get competitive about. Mama, we're not doing the call-in yet. All right.
I got the chat room. You're okay.
Yeah, yeah. I try to get the volume all the way down, but it's hard for me to do it. Oh, my gosh. All right. Here we go.
You're fine.
We're good. We're all good.
The poet of the month is very special.
So. It is a special thing. And so I'm going to give the clues from the first couple weeks here just to kind of gird the loins of the poets to be able to understand who the poet of the month is. Okay, so here are the clues from week one. Number one, hidden in the breach, dear friends. Clue two, thrown to pen. Clue three, linguist across channels. Now, here are the three clues from week two. One, the 12th Louis sired. Two, pen under lock and key in England. And three, Armagnac unite. Couldn't pronounce that for the life of me. Our November 2020 Poet of the Month is Charles d'Orléans, or otherwise known as Charles Duke of Orléans. He was born in November 24th, 1394 in Paris, France. He died January 4th, 1465. He was one of the last and one of the greatest courtly poets of France, who during exile in England also earned a reputation for his poems in English. He's the son of Louis, Duke of Orléans, and he succeeded to the title in 1407, when his father was assassinated, age 13, he sought vengeance against Bernard the VII. He was in the Battle of Agincourt with Henry V, which is the Into the Breach, Dear Friends reference, where he was captured and was basically exiled in Captain England, or living in exile in England. And the very rich person exile, where he was still in castles and everything, but you know, he was just in England this time. And he dedicated himself to learning the language. It says here, his enforced idleness in England had given him leisure to pursue his literary interests. He had written some verse before his capture, and in his retirement, he composed a complete love history, mainly in ballads besides other poems. He also wrote more than 6,000 lines in English, arranged in two love histories linked by miscellaneous things. These are now generally accepted as having been written by him, although they previously thought had been the work of an Englishman. Huh. The collection of English poems is much more of a literary unit than are his French poems, to which Charles continually added after his return to France. A fascinating character. I had to dig a little bit to find this guy, but once I found him, I thought, wow, this guy's a really interesting guy. So this is our November 2020 Poet of the Month, Charles Duc d'Orléans. All right, everyone, it is now time for me to try to answer these calls here. And Mama, this is your cue. The number 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry, Open Mic.
No matter your gender.
No matter your religion.
No matter where you are from.
You have a voice that matters.
You have a poetic home here.
Free from judgment.
Free from hate. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic.
All right, and we are back. JT, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. This was really weird.
Was it kind of strange? You're just kind of hanging out, like just listening to music? And
maybe chat a little bit.
What's the deal? That's cool. That's great.
It's just kind of weird. I don't. My toes are bored.
I don't think that's the first time I've ever heard you say that.
They're just kind of like, I don't know what to do. So
it's kind of, you find ways to fill the time. You find ways to fill the time. So we've got five great callers lined up here, but before we do that, I do have a submission I'm going to read. Okay.
There was a question posed and I don't know the answer.
What is it?
Did anyone get the poet of the month?
No, they did not.
Oh my goodness.
There was a
goodness.
Lot of great guesses, but no one got it.
Wow. Okay. All right.
And I was trying, if you look at the clues, I was trying to be pretty straight up. Like the part where I said, what's the exact line? The 12th Louis sired. I mean, that's pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
Under our pen under lock and key in England. Thrown to pen, hidden in the breach, dear friends.
Yeah.
I feel like I was fairly good, but you know, it's kind of a vague poet these days. So, now before I get to our great callers though,
yes.
I do have a submission, and this is from Sonia Rose. And here we go. It's called Drifted. We are carried away by our own agendas. The faces that were designed to display his glory are covered in shame and brokenness, like shattered pieces of glass. We feel like we never measure up, so we take daily measurements of how much we need to strive to get God's attention. As we work to earn his favor, he is waiting for us to realize that one breath away is our true salvation. When we approach the throne of grace, we receive his purpose and his thoughts toward us. No need to get his attention, because he sees us more beautiful than a lotus. Abide is the ride we must take in order for our souls to not be carried away slowly. Life is too short for our spirits to fall away into the impure streams when he calls us to live holy. We must live by his words and spirit in dreary days. May we be drawn closer to him, lest we drift away. And that was Drifted by Sonia Rose. Sonia, thank you so much for submitting that. That was absolutely fantastic. If you would like to submit poetry like Sonia did, like so many people do on this show, you can do so by sending it to worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com or putting it in the contact form. Just indicate, just like Sonia did, that this poem is being submitted to be read on the show. All right, JT, you ready? It's going to be weird.
I'm ready.
All right, we are going to go, first of all, because she's just so steadfast, we're going to go to Cleveland, Ohio. We're going to visit with Mama Oladeji. Let's bring her on. Hello, Mama. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. Fantastic. JT, can you hear it? Okay.
I am.
All right. Fantastic. We've got it working here. So, Mama, I want to say thank you. You know, you didn't know Colin was going to make that. Usually it doesn't make any sound. I couldn't figure out how to get that thing from coming through. I'm not sure why. We got so many cables and cords. We got, each of us have multiple computers going on right now, Mom. It's crazy.
I know. And I was trying to transfer my phone numbers into my new phone because it wiped out all my numbers and Google didn't have them.
Oh, no.
So that's what I was trying to do. I wasn't trying to call it. I was like so embarrassed.
Oh, I know. No, don't be embarrassed. I just figured I'd say it. I was more like kidding the way I bring it up. Like it's fine. We understand.
No. I mean, I knew you weren't mad at me. I'm just saying it was just embarrassing to seem so desperate.
Oh, no. Trust me, Mama. We've seen desperate on this show in the past. We've been desperate on this show in the past, and you look nothing like that. So thank you.
Thank you so much.
Well,
thank you, Dennis, for being such a gentleman. So I'm going to read a reverse.
Okay.
From my book of American poets, and I have an interesting one here called Pebbles. I never read before. I think I'll read that one in the second. Part. I'm going to read Psalms of Life by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, which is one of my favorite poets. Life shall send a challenge to its end. And when it comes, say, welcome, friend. What the heart of the young man said to the psalmist. Tell me not in mournful numbers. Life is but an empty dream, for the soul is dead that slumbers, and things are not what they seem. Life is real, life is earnest, and the grave is not its goal. Dust thou art, to dust returnest, was not spoken of the soul. Not enjoyment and not sorrow is our destined end, our way? Is our destined end or way but to act that each tomorrow find us farther than today? Art is long and time is fleeting, and our hearts, though stout and brave, still like muffled drums are beating funeral marches to the grave. In the world broad field of battle, in the bivouac of life, be not like dumb driven cattle, be a hero in the strife. Trust no future, however pleasant. Let the dead past bury its dead. Act in the glorious present. Heart within and God overhead. Life of great men shall remind us we can make our lives sublime, and departing, leave behind us footsteps on the sands of time. Footsteps that perhaps another, sailing o'er life's solemn lane, a forlorn and shipwrecked brother, seen shall take heart again. Let us then be up and doing with a heart for any fate, still achieving, still pursuing. Learn to labor and to wait. And that's the song by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. Sorry, you all, my eyes are getting pretty bad.
No, very nicely done. Very nicely done. And I think, yeah, everyone in the chat room was loving it too. Mama, that was fantastic. Thank you so much.
Great piece.
Great way to kick us off.
Yeah.
Thank you all. Thank you so very much. The Psalms of Life by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. Thank you.
They love you, Mama. Thanks so much. All right. And that was Mama Oladeji calling from Cleveland, Ohio. The next caller we're going to go to, JT, is going to completely surprise you.
What?
Maybe not.
Okay.
Since he's in the chat room. We're going to go now to the great state of Missouri to visit with Sinister. Hello, Sinister. Good evening.
Good evening, JT, Michael.
How are you, sir?
Talk to you guys again.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you.
Hello.
How's everything where you are?
It's good. Good. It's actually very well.
Good.
Very well indeed.
Happy to hear that. Happy to hear that, man. It's great to hear your voice. And you know, I think it's you know, it's just really cool to you know, be able to track with people over years. I mean, how many years you've been calling this show?
It's been about four now.
Four years? Probably longer than that, right? Because you called when J-Todd was still on the show back, and he's been gone since 16.
Yeah, so probably about six.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so four to 5 years.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a good amount of time, my friend.
I started out with you guys when I was just reading.
Yeah. I love it, man. Love it. So here's what we're gonna
do. I got my chop.
Let's just pop it into what we're all here for, man. I know we love to hear you read. We'll talk a little bit after, okay? But I'm going to give you the stage.
All right.
Here you go.
Epiphanies and future relations. Connect seconds to virtual bliss amongst faceless machines, overwhelming intelligence no longer held, lofting breeze-blown epiphanies that intrigue one's soul with a greater force held not above, but here on Earth. Exasperate gravity in the cold, wet, poorly lit dawning of this queen moon who shies from our deplorable fleetings. Unfortunately, you see, those double-edged blades only work in the folds beyond seasoned remorse of consciousness. A planet inebriated by spirits of youthful, lush engagements, forfeiting thoughtful transcriptions of the glory raped, painting walls and canvases to entrance momentous triflings of a wicked harvested monsoon we bathed in. This pen plucked from a soaring eagle's wing, soothing panic that once found me but thrilled by it. Lost yet fearless in the solar eclipse where I found myself to be the future. Remiss I become, my shadow only shown the past. We are, after all, just segues of that which has encumbered these byways and footpaths we wearily over-travel through time. In such culminations, we envelope that these quirks are reminiscent of diseases that saw mankind near fated, willed testament to the disaster that breathes. These beliefs carry scorn you whispered out into a starless, empty night, breaking false bravado of truth's ambition. Shivering alone, may one yearn to grab hold of love, blindly kissing virgin cheeks that share privilege with bitter men like I, rough and cold, and peace.
Wow. Sinister, you still got it, my friend. You still got it. That's fantastic.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I love you. You're not, and I think I can say this about a lot of the people on the show as well. You are not anybody who sounds like you're trying to be anybody else, and you don't inadvertently sound like everybody else, right? You are your own person, and I think that's really important. So thanks for that, sir. Appreciate you.
I appreciate you having the platform, and I'm sorry I don't come through as much as I should, but
hey, there's no should, my friend. We're good. We are happy when you can join us. That's all.
Well, I'm gonna stick around tonight, and I got another one for the return engagement. And
sounds great.
I just re-downloaded Twitch, so I'm gonna be listening in and in the chat room.
All right, sounds great, man. We'll connect with you in a little bit.
All right.
Thank you. And that was Sinister calling from Missouri, not the saddest state in the union. It's not true.
No,
not true. Okay. You ever talk to people from Branson? They're just downright happy.
Oh,
straight up happy.
This is good.
They love Western music, too. Hey, let's go up now to Michigan, a place of much controversy for whatever reason. Can't imagine why. I can think of a few poets up there, a few rabble-rousing poets that live up there.
Yeah.
And here's one of them. Let's go to George in Michigan.
One of them. Let's go to
Good evening, George.
In Michigan.
Hello.
How are you, sir? It's so great to see you in Twitch. It's amazing.
Yeah, I know. I'm twitching all over the place here, just out of happiness. It's so nice to get in here and whatever.
How are you?
Glad to be doing fine. Fine, really. I can't complain. I've been out and about, a lot as far as like my bike or to the gym. I haven't been anywhere else because of COVID, but almost anywhere else. But anyway, getting through it. Starting to get cold up here, and there's no other big news. The one I'm going to read first is one that I just wrote a couple days ago. In fact, I think it was yesterday. Actually, I didn't write it just yesterday, but I put it on Facebook yesterday. It's very short, and I got a lot of positive feedback, so I'd read this. It's about memories, buried hopes. Like objects, memories too are edited. We can't keep all their weight, so we shave off some of the rougher bumps, so they will slide into our fables. Yet they are the glow of our understanding and the tombs of our buried hopes. End of peace.
Well done, sir. Well done.
Thank you.
For anybody who's on Facebook who's not keeping up with your group, which is George Wiley Writes, I think it's a really good place to kind of keep up with poetry. But you also have some other great poets who put things down in there too.
Oh yes, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. There's a bunch of people that are some of them, of course, from this show, and others that aren't in the show, but. Yeah, it's growing. It's still growing, and I'm happy about that.
I'm happy to be a member of that and be able to see it. It always makes me smile, and I enjoy it quite a bit. So anybody who's interested in it, talk to George. I don't want to invite you. It's not my place, but talk to George about it.
Oh yeah. If they're on this show and they like poetry, come join me on George Wiley Writes, which is a Facebook page, and add to the fun.
All right. George, we appreciate you, sir. And will we hear from you during the return?
You betcha.
All right. Fantastic. We'll anticipate
that. All right.
Thank you.
Great.
Okay. Thank you. And that was George calling from Michigan in the number 3 spot here in the first segment. Now we're going to be traveling not that far away from where George is to the man, the myth, the legend. We're talking, of course, about Dennis. Let's bring him on now. Good evening, Dennis. How are you, sir?
Hello, I'm good. It's Friday night.
It is. That's right. And, it is, this is a good time for us to be getting together, I think. You know, things are a little just kind of crazy out there, huh?
Definitely. This is an oasis in the desert.
Hopefully it is a desert and not dessert. It's an oasis of nothingness in the middle of a desert either. That's what I
know. This is wonderful. And I sure appreciate it. And I know everyone else does too.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. So what do you have for us this time?
Well, I discovered who the poet of the month was. And I sent his name in on the contact form.
You did, and I didn't see it.
But you might have missed it. So,
well, if I did, if you sent it.
I prepared.
You win. So if you sent it and I missed it, you win. Yeah.
I had to get in ahead of George. You know, we're getting tired of George's selections. Although you make his selection sound good. I don't know how, but you do.
Well, thank you. Flattery will get you everywhere. Yeah. No. Well, thank you for that. Thank you. Now I'm all weirded out, but okay. At any rate, since you are prepared, I'm going to let you read while I try to figure out what happened to this thing you sent in.
All right. Well, the poet of the month is Charles D'Orleans. If I'm saying that right, I don't know, but that's close enough. And the title of this poem is She Not Blessed with Every Grace? And it's written in the Rondeau form. Is she not blessed with every grace? She that I love so true? And by my faith, I swear too, of her equal, there's no trace. What you say you? Is it not the case? How does it seem to you? Is she not blessed with every grace? She that I love so true. Her dancing, singing, laughing face. Whatever she seeks to do, taking an honest view. Without favor or flattery new, Is she not blessed with every grace? End of poem. A poem by Charles d'Orleans.
Very, very well read, sir. Like they said in the chat room, the cover master. And I think you really brought that one to life. He's a very interesting character. And by the way,
and
you got me to look through, and I went into our spam folder, and I found three things sent from the contact form in there. And one was your guess on the Poet of the Month last month, and one was the Poet of the Month, the guess this month. And you did get it. So
my stuff all goes in the spam folder.
Apparently, right? It did. Well, it shouldn't anymore. I don't know what's going on. But at any rate, that's so because of that, you actually are the one who got it. So so congratulations after the fact. Thanks for defending your title.
Well, that's all right. And but now I know where I rank.
Oh, come on now. That's not...
But you found it. You found it, and it's all good.
I was looking around. Well, I had no idea. Yeah. Mm. All right. Well, at any rate,
that's probably why I never get a reply from you. He goes right in that folder and he says, "Oh, that's junk. I'm not looking at that."
I'm not sending it to the spam folder, Dennis.
All right. Well, it's all good. I mean, I don't have any problems with that. and somebody has to scoop George. So I've taken it upon myself.
I was going to say, you know, someone's got to keep fighting that fight.
To go the extra mile.
Well, we appreciate you doing so. And thank you. And good work figuring out who the Poet of the Month was. It's kind of an obscure person now, but kind of a big historical figure as well.
But so very interesting. And yeah. There is a lot of his work available. So if people want to get to his work, if they can't find a place, contact me and I'll give them a link.
So, there you go. Perfect.
All right. Thank you very much. I sure do appreciate it. I'm going to step aside. Let the next poet step up to the mic and say, God bless.
Hey, God bless, God, Dennis.
God bless, Dennis. Thank you. And that was Dennis calling from Michigan, the number 4 place in our first segment. That's the first time in years we screwed that up, JT, and it was my fault. I'm the one who screwed it up.
You know what? I knew it was going to happen, too.
Did you?
Yeah, and it's because so you're answering years, the call. So that you're...
For years, every time he would say, God bless, JT and I would say it at the exact same time. We would essentially jinx each other, right?
Yeah.
And then we eventually got it to where JT says it first, I say it second. We always do it. This is the first time in what? Probably half a decade that we have screwed this up.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's literally been that long. So,
good stuff. Figure. It's good stuff, man.
Good stuff, man. All right. We've got one more caller, and you know, this is a voice that you're all going to love hearing. I promise. I am so thankful that he called in as well. So let's go now to Alabama. Let's visit with Stan. Hello, Stan. Good evening.
Oh, and good evening. It's so good to be back.
Oh, great to hear your voice, my friend. Great to hear your voice. How's everything been? What have you been up to?
A lot of moving around, shuffling, avoiding. It's wild.
Yeah.
It is.
Oh, boy. Well, yeah.
Well, that's just it. You know, you look out there and you see, amazingly, a lot of people wearing the mask, distancing, etc. And you see just about as many who think it's just another day.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's weird.
It's it is kind of weird to see. You know, I remember... Maybe I had mentioned this on a previous show recently, but I remember hearing about how when we had that Ebola outbreak, that it was because people were eating animals from the bush in Africa, and that's how they contracted it. And they had been told to not do that by the government, but they thought it was a conspiracy, so they just kept doing it. And I remember sitting there thinking, well, you know, maybe that's a population that's not necessarily so educated. There's more of a that kind of mentality, not being able to trust the government. I understand, but hopefully that wouldn't happen here. Well, answered that question, Stan.
Yes.
Turns out we're exactly the same way. So you'll figure, Oh, well. But at any rate, you know, we're still able to gather together like this. And I think this is really important. And, you know, I want to make sure you have plenty of time and a good stage to read. So I'm going to let you do it and we'll talk after. Okay.
Oh, thank you.
All right.
It's great to do that. This was a piece that was written for Poetry of Spring's Embrace. And Alexander Olinger gave us this quote, which came from a series he was watching. And this is a quote from one of the characters. Listen, in love there are no guarantees, and it is better to follow your heart and believe someone will break it than pretend you have no heart at all. And from that quote, I wrote Phoenix Heart. Gone. The injustice wrought by heartbreak, the void of love departing my life, an abyss of solitude agonizing with infinite darkness cold. Why put the soul to such task, returning to pain's oblivion again? Why allow love in at all? You're all given without hesitation, your innermost self without reservations, only to fall to ash and ruin in a goodbye. Humiliated, debilitated, one once loved, now hated. For what? Yours the choice, yours the delusion. Nothing ever promised, yours the foregone conclusion. So you mourn and despair. Say not again this journey of pain. Then, time passes, as does pain. A set of soulful eyes and lyrical voice touch the burned remains of you, and something smoldering glows. Never again fades to shadow, as the heart lights anew with hope, and a flame rekindles from the ashes. In peace.
Wow. Fantastic. Fantastic. And what a delivery too. I mean, I think everyone in the chat room is responding the same way right now. Thank you.
I'm telling you, it is wonderful to be back here, you know, and it's wonderful to see some of the new faces and also some very familiar faces.
Yeah.
The return of Sin. Ah, I love it.
I know. You couldn't have picked a better night. You couldn't have picked a better night. That's fantastic, isn't it?
It is.
Mm. Well, Stan, will you be able to be around for the return?
I will try to be.
Okay. Okay. We'll see how we get along here in the second segment. It might be sooner than later, but I have a feeling we're going to have a fairly robust second segment, I think, but it shouldn't be too long, okay?
Oh, I'm looking forward to it.
All right. As am I. So thank you so much and really appreciate it. Hope you're staying safe if we don't talk for some reason, but I'm looking forward to hearing in the return.
Hey, the same to all of you.
All right.
Stay safe.
You too. Thank you, sir. And that was Stan calling from Alabama. Fantastic first segment there, JT. What'd you think? How'd I do on the phones?
You did great. Well done, sir. Well done.
Hey, thank you. Thank you very much. So now we're getting ready to go into the second segment. We need five more unique callers. Number 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic. Hello, everyone. I'm Hollywood producer Charlie Pinkerton, and this is the word of the day. The word of the day is stodge. It's a verb. It means to stuff full, especially with food or drink, to gorge. In 1972, I'd just been married to what I thought would be the love of my life, number 15 for me and second for her. I thought we were a dream come true. Was I right? Nah. I was dead wrong. Turned out, while I was in Greece for the principal photography of the Wicker People with Bert Lancaster, she found a little love nest of her own, the corner booth of Spago, where she would stodge herself with L.A.'s finest corn dogs. No, not the cheesy wannabe Shakespeare's trying to peddle a new script, but actual corn dogs. When I came back, the addiction was complete, and our relationship was no more. When we last spoke, I lifted her chin gently to me to say goodbye, but instead, I had to wipe away a small smear of ketchup. I'll always miss her. And this has been Hollywood producer Charlie Pinkerton, and it's been the word of the day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
JT, fantastic. You know, it's funny. I forgot that we wrote that.
Yeah.
That's good. We were talking before the show.
Yeah.
I think I'm just too much of a fan of Robert Evans and Jerry Weintraub and all those guys. And I think that Charlie Pinkerton's going to have to be a podcast with ridiculous stories like that.
Absolutely. We're going to have to have this as a thing.
I don't know why it's fun for me to do, because it's really dumb.
I thoroughly enjoy it. I get why. I get it. I'm like, I know it's fun for you. I get a kick out of it. It's, yeah.
But the funny thing is no one else says anything about it, so I think we're the only two who enjoy it.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's okay.
We'll put it out there. Somebody else will like it.
Yeah, someone will like us somewhere.
That's right.
By the way, I was thinking about this.
Yeah.
So the thing, and I was sending a message to you, JT, because I feel like people don't believe me that Dennis's things were actually in spam. But then I started thinking about this too. What a terrible business hit job to call that stuff spam.
Yeah.
The company spam never. Like,
I know.
And they're still around.
They are.
They're the cockroaches
yeah.
of the culinary world.
It's sad because there's a lot of good things that you can do with it.
You know, and I've never really found those. And now that I'm now that I don't eat meat anymore, it's probably not going to happen.
Yeah, probably not.
But
until there's an impossible spam. Sorry. Couldn't help my folks. Couldn't help myself, folks.
Impossible spam.
Impossible spam.
Incredible spam. Improbable spam. Or like dubious spam.
Dubious.
The different ways they're coming up with ways to say it. You got incredible.
Yes.
Incomprehensible.
Just make
inconceivable.
Spams would be dubious.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Exactly. All right. So we've got three great callers lined up here, and I want to get right into it. I'm so happy that they were all able to get through. And I don't have another submission to read this segment, so we'll just go straight into it. Let's first of all, in the number one spot, let's go to upstate New York, and we're going to talk with Zach. Good evening, Zach. How are you, sir?
Hello. It's a good night to be here. How are you guys?
Doing very, very well. Thank you. How's everything where you are?
It's going good. You know, we're the cases in the county, a couple of counties over from us, you know, they're rising, but you know, we're relatively low. I think we've only had like 20 or 30 deaths this whole time, and which is insane because most people aren't following the mask mandate at all.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just interesting to see how our decisions, you know, they have some sort of effect, and it's not the kind of situation any of us want to be in the first place, you know. But here we what was the statistic JT told me, one out of every 49 people are contagious here in Colorado, in Denver right now, and so it's pretty crazy. So you imagine one out of every 49 people, and then how many people they get contagious or get infected. Just goes from, you know, goes exponentially. So we're just trying to take care of ourselves and stay well.
Sounds good to me. I missed the opening of the show, so I wasn't sure if you, how are you doing through your quarantine?
Oh, you know, I am delightfully slowly slipping into Edgar Allan Poe character-like madness. But in this case, it's far less toxic, includes good food and some yoga. So I'm I'm kind of lasting through just fine. You know, hey, little therapy never hurt anybody.
Absolutely. It was an interesting week for me because today I paid off my my hearing aids. So
yeah,
I paid off $3,000 of hearing aids in 9 months.
Oh my goodness! Good job.
So if I can really limit my spending, then by next year I could end up not having any more student loans. And that would be put me debt free by the time I'm 30 with money left in the bank.
Fantastic.
That's always good.
That's a great goal. Great goal, my friend. Mm-hmm. Way to go. And by the way, also seeing that you had shared a picture of your book being in the library, that's super cool also.
Yeah. That was awesome. I went to I saw that my book was in the library catalog, and I went there, and right there it was.
Fantastic!
Right in the new books of poetry, and then it's going to be put alongside Edgar Allan Poe, and it's going to be put alongside the Robert Frost and everyone. So it's going to be put in there once it gets in there, and then once they can have in-person things, they're gonna let me have a book meeting, like, you know, talk about the book and everything, and talk about my second book.
How cool. Yeah, second book. JT, you should know, behind the scenes, Zach and I talk, and I'm always kind of like, and he's, to his credit, he's the one doing all the work, but I'm always like, so what's going on with the next book?
Good
I'm
job.
That guy. Yeah. But Zach rises to the challenge, which is why I ask those questions. So
good point.
I'm very, very proud to see, you know, how you're going through all this. So congratulations again, my friend. Always.
Thank you. You know, I'd love to talk some more, but you know,
it's time for
poetry.
That's so right.
Normally I send you all of my poems that as I write them, so that you can have something to distract you when you need it. But this is hot off the press. This is one that I wrote a couple hours ago. So don't know if it's my best work, don't know if it's my worst work, but it's called Listen. You could know everything, but that won't mean a damn thing if you don't learn how to start listening. Listening to yourself, to your body, to your friends and family. Listening to the people who ask for information, because they won't be interested in what you have to say if you don't care about what they have to say. End of piece.
I think that's a good one. I feel good about that. JT, what do you think?
I enjoyed it. That was really good, yeah. Zach.
I don't know if so, Zach, you might not be able to hear JT's responses because I think of how things are cycled, but he may be able to. I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah, I couldn't hear him.
Okay, you couldn't hear him, but he said that he enjoyed it as well. I think that's the one failure. We've got all kinds of cables and stuff going everywhere here, Zach. It's pretty crazy to set up, but that's the one piece we don't have. So yeah, great. Very well done. And I think George says it really well. He says, such a considerate poet. And I think that's something that you kind of teach in your stuff, is empathy and self-love, but also being considerate of other people. That's something that really resonates through all of your work.
Absolutely. I appreciate the kind words, and you know, I'll talk to you guys during the return engagement because there's still more poets to come.
That's right. No pun intended. All right. Hey, thanks so much, Zach. We will talk to you during the return.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Bye. And that was Zach calling from upstate New York in the number one spot here in the second segment. Now we're going to be heading to our next caller, who's calling from Vancouver, British Columbia. Let's all say hello to Cynthia. Good evening, Cynthia.
Hi. Thank you so much for the show. It's such a bright spot.
Oh, well, thank you. It's our pleasure to do it. It's our pleasure to do it. How's everything where you are?
Well, you know, it's dark and wintry, so I'm really grateful to be able to do this with you.
All right. Well, it's funny because I think we share elements of climate. I mean, it's not totally the same, but you know, we definitely have, well, if we don't have it now, we definitely will have some dark and wintry moments here coming up very soon, I think. But right now it's actually not too bad. I feel like I could open a window and be just fine, but I could change it the drop of a hat. So
we do have the same Rocky Mountain. We get most of our weather from the Rocky Mountain.
Yeah.
So just like you guys. And then we have the ocean to balance it out. It's actually just dark, but with the clock changing and everything, I feel like it's time to read a winter poem.
Perfect.
Even if it's not officially winter yet. So I read this one before. It's from Rainforest in Russet. And it's called Pigeon Park. And Pigeon Park was sort of the place on the downtown east side where there were a lot of homeless people, a lot of drugs. One positive thing I hope has come out of COVID is that homeless people have been sheltered more. So that's really a wonderful thing that's happened in Vancouver. And we hope will continue. They're able to get homeless people off the streets and 6 feet away from each other. So it's a good step. But this is Pigeon Park, about kind of the sadness of being there. And the word nadir means sort of the darkest point of a dark time. So in the nadir of wintry isolation, frosted ash turns the city to stone, eerily quiet, numb. The homeless toss on frigid park benches, traverse solitude, quiet epiphanies in the rhythm of travel as life catches up with itself. Crescent moon evanesces in the cold sky, reborn each day into the choice to continue. End poem.
Wow. Very nicely done. Very nicely done. Yeah.
I kind of feel like that's where we're at right now with COVID, that we're being reborn into the choice to continue. And no matter how dark it feels, I think we're going to get through this.
I know we will. I mean,
yeah. And it's that moment of looking up to the stars, we're looking to the light, because I think we're at the darkest point. We're at the darkest points, and it's going to get better.
I think so. I mean, one thing we've got to remember, as tough as this is, and it's not a joke, and it's not not to make light of it at all, but then really realizing that, you know, this isn't, comparatively, this isn't the plague. This isn't any of these things, but it is very serious. At the same time, we got to remember that phrase, the tough get going when the going gets tough. And the going is tough, you know, and we've got to realize, like, we are made of sterner stuff than we allow ourselves to be sometimes too. We will last through, and we'll make it through this. But we may lose some really close people to us along the way. And that's a scary thought.
That's nicely said, Michael.
I don't know. I don't even know if I'm not saying anything no one else has thought about COVID. I don't need to talk about it. I mean, everybody's talking about it, I guess, now, but it's just a shared experience, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I do end the poem with the hope, because I think of all those homeless people on those benches, and I'm really grateful that we finally have homeless people sheltered. It shouldn't have taken books to get that to happen.
Exactly. But, yeah.
I mean, for Canada, a lot of good things are coming out. The government's actually having to deal with things. that's wonderful. But I was also thinking of all those homeless people who sleep on a cold bench at night and make the choice to fight to stay alive.
Yeah.
And that's something. You know, if we had that much tenacity, I think we'd be through this.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Thank you so much, Cynthia. And hopefully we'll talk to you during the return.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you. Bye. And that was Cynthia calling from Vancouver, British Columbia. I really love that she ended that with hope. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of darkness there. One thing I find myself dealing with is, you know, as I get phone calls and all kinds of stuff, I've been sitting around here. One thing I find myself doing almost ad nauseum is trying to bring up hope. Like, look, things are rough,
mm-hmm.
but you've got to keep moving. You got to be smart and keep moving. And in a weird way, and I'm sure you can learn this any variety of ways, I think that's something that I really learned during the whole cancer thing. It's like, you don't have a choice. You can't go backwards. This is like dealing with a disease like that.
Yeah.
In an individual life, you put your head down and you just do what you can. and you make the smart decisions. You don't just choose a checkout, whatever, you right. know, like, can you imagine? It'd be like yeah. getting a disease, refusing, you know, people who are refusing to take it seriously. It's like getting the disease and be like, well, I'm just going to handle it. I'm not going to talk to a doctor, whatever. Well, okay. That's a choice.
Yeah.
But the reality is, as a group of people, let's pay attention to the doctors. Let's do what the doctors say. Let's keep our heads down and let's keep going. We will get through this. And, you know, hey, we all have different degrees in which we agree with it, whatever. But in this metaphor, that's what makes sense. So, all right. Now we're going to travel to Connecticut to visit with a person we all know and love very much. Let's go to Barbara. Good evening, Barbara.
Hi.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. I'm, you know, I had to go get a physical today. We won't talk about that, but the stress of going to a doctor's office and all yeah. that stuff is very frightening. Very frightening.
Yeah. Yeah. Understood.
Yeah. So, should I read my poem, then we'll talk?
Sure. Yeah. Let's do
so
that.
So this is for the garden this week, and the prompts were satisfaction and passion. And this is Stanley's quote. The creation of love, not just for pleasure in our existence, but more toward the purpose of it. So I titled my poem, The Creation of Satisfaction. When you attempt to gain satisfaction by worldly means, your life will be an empty vessel. And the more you try to fill it with things, the emptier it will become. For things are not going to bring you satisfaction for long. Oh, you will exclaim with excitement as each new thing arrives in your life and nurture it for a while until its newness wears off and you crave another thing. Acquiring things doesn't lead to anything but stress, as you must constantly get more and more until your world is filled with things you have discarded and it is emptier than before you started adding these things to it. Yet, when you strive to add passion to your life, that is when it gains meaning and purpose, and you feel a sense of deep satisfaction without needing to get more and more, creating a space of joy by being involved in a task that brings satisfaction is the only way to fulfill that dream of finding a complete life and being able to live with happiness. For the rich soil of true contentment only comes from being involved in what makes you happy. Sometimes love will enter our lives in a frivolous way. We find ourselves sucked into a place where suddenly everything has gained a new meaning and life becomes centered around one person, creating a need to find ways to keep this person alive and safe. And we find ourselves doing things we never dreamed of doing. And sometimes we try to give this person everything and find it isn't enough because, once again, acquiring things doesn't bring happiness. What is needed is a true commitment to cherish this person and show with your every move and action how much you value them with all of your heart. And this is what will create a bridge that no things can build. With that bridge from heart to heart, you can create a world centered upon each other. And that is what love is all about. It is a universe created for only two people by their intentions and by their actions, meant to house only them in their magical bubble. End poem.
Lovely. Very, very well done, Barbara.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah, you know, Stan's quote was so intense, really.
It was. Yeah.
Yeah, that was really something. Yeah. I don't know where it came from or where, you know.
But he gave the name of the he gave the name of the person who said it. Maybe he can share that in the chat room. Too. I think that's a yeah. Hopefully he will. We'll ask him. We'll ask him when he comes back on, okay? But
yeah, but it was actually fun thinking in those terms. You know, it's kind of like peeling back the thoughts about things that you, you know, see every day. And, it, you know, having, that's why I love a garden, because it makes me think so much. But anyway, just, you know, this was a, I would think, a pretty tough week. You know, this is.
Yeah. Yeah. I can understand. I mean, there's a lot of tough stuff going on.
Yeah, just tough. And in our state, all of a sudden, just started spreading. God.
Yep, us too.
But we knew it. We knew it because we saw people not in masks. They were just hanging out and not in masks. And they thought nothing of not wearing masks and walking around and holding their mask under their chin or not, you know, paying attention. And just people have to really be serious about masks. You know, we're serious about our masks. We wash our hands. We put our mask on. We wash our hands again.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a protocol to using a mask, too. And I think the worst thing, though, was when my friend got in the hospital, I really got nervous for her. I mean, and she's better. She's got the cocktail. She got what Trump got. So.
The hydrochloroquine? I'm sorry, I had to say it.
No. She got that cocktail, the steroids, the blood thinner, and the remdesivir.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. She says she feels better, so good for her. I mean, she has pneumonia, but hey, I'm just happy she's in the hospital and getting better, but
yeah.
It's scary when a friend, a really good friend of yours, is in the hospital. I mean, other people's friends have been in the hospital, I've heard, and celebrities and politicians. And each day a new politician gets into the hospital. But when a friend, a really good friend that you've known for years, gets into the hospital, that is really scary. And you start to examine your relationship with that person, too, because you realize how much more serious your relationship with them is.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I do know. I know, understand what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and so I put up a thing, a post and everything because I got so nervous about her, but I'm pretty sure that prayer helped a lot. So anyway, I'm going to get off the phone, but I just want to say that Zach is sending me his poems too, and they're getting better and better.
Yeah, he's developing all the time, and his confidence, I think, is coming through. I think that's really the big thing too. His confidence is growing.
Yeah, really wonderful.
Yeah,
really wonderful. So, kudos to Zach, and I'm gonna say, I'll talk to you in the return.
Sounds good. We'll talk to you then, Barbara. Okay. Thank you so much.
Bye.
All right. Goodbye. And that was Barbara finishing out the callers for the second segment. There's been some great stuff this time, don't you think, JT?
There really has.
Really has. Boy. All right. So we've had three callers there. Now we have one more poet who wants to read this segment. I'm just going to turn the microphone over to him, Mr. JT.
All right. So if nobody's really realized, whenever Michael asked me to stall, I'm actually reading from Shel Silverstein, Where the Sidewalk Ends. I have this book. I don't know where it, well, I know where it came from, but I don't know how I obtained it. Which is kind of confusing. Somebody got it from a school library, and it got into my house somehow. So
you mean Jay? Was that Jay Todd?
No,
it sounds like Jay Todd.
No, it definitely wasn't Jay Todd. No,
okay.
I don't know if it was one of my kids or one of my friends, because it came from a DPS school. So DPS, please don't write up me on this one. Anyway, so that's who I've been covering, and this one is from him. Listen to the mustn'ts. Listen to the mustn'ts, child. Listen to the don'ts. Listen to the shouldn'ts. The impossible. The impossibles. The won'ts. Listen to the never haves. Then listen close to me. Anything can happen, child. Anything can be.
Very, very nice. And I can see why you chose to read that one, too.
Yeah.
I really like that one. And cool. Thanks for reading that.
Yeah.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Good idea, my friend. That's great. All right. So it is now time for us to head into a special thing we like to call
the return engagement.
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 Nailed it.
Yeah,
the first time ever, we're going to be heading to the return engagement. The number is 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic. See, they're already going crazy. That's on right. The line.
This is Draven from The Silent Still, and you're listening to World Poetry Open Mic.
All right, and we are back here in time for the return engagement. Now, it's not like we have to catch it. It's not like a segment that flies through space and we have to hitch a ride on it. It's more like we created ourselves, but yet we're still in time. I'm getting too out there.
Yeah, you are. I got a question. Did I nail
What's
the
your
list?
Question? What now?
Did I nail the list?
Oh, let's see.
Especially the last caller.
Yes, you did.
Oh, yes, you did. I am awesome.
Yeah, good for you, my friend.
Thank you, chat room. I appreciate it.
You're just pulling that out. You're just pulling that off of the chat room, huh?
How about the last caller?
You just guess?
I guessed.
You nailed it.
Perfect. Woohoo!
All right. Way to go. All right. So let's just without any further ado, let's get into it. Let's go ahead to our longest supporter, one of the best friends in the show. Let's go to Dennis. Hello, Dennis. Welcome back.
Yeah, I'm glad to be back.
What? And like I said, you know, in the introduction, you know, you've been such a fantastic supporter of the show, and it really, you know, we can't share it enough too. It's really meant a lot to us that, you know, the support that you've brought to us and that you've shown up consistently. It really does mean a lot.
Yeah, but you guys have been faithful year after year after year to us. And sometimes that is overlooked. It's I'm just responding to your faithfulness for bringing this platform to us, and what a wonderful way it is to share poetry and encourage poetry. And you guys have done such a great job at that. So I want to thank you.
Well, you have by your actions, and we really appreciate it. And I think the best thing I can do at this moment is give you the stage. This is what this whole thing's for, and we will talk briefly after, okay?
All right, that sounds good. My second poem is another cover by Charles D'Orlaine, and the title of it is Off With You Now, Away, Away. Off with you now, away, away, grief and care and melancholy. Think you take control of me for all my life as yesterday? I promise you, no, never, I say. Reason shall have the mastery. Off with you now, away, away, grief and care and melancholy. If you ever come back this way, you and your whole company, may God curse you then, all three. And whatever brought you, I pray. Off with you now, away, away, grief and care and melancholy. End of poem, a poem by Charles D'Orlaine.
Wow. Fantastic. And, you know, good choice, but also, once again, the read is really the thing. Because that didn't have to have the life in it that you brought to it, but I think you did a great job with it.
Mm-hmm. And you can just plug in anything you want away. And I think we are all in agreement. We want COVID-19 to go away.
Yes, away,
and
away.
We can just plug that right into the theme of that poem so easily.
I completely agree with that. Yes, we just want this gone, right?
Indeed we do.
Oh boy. Dennis, thank you again just for tonight and for everything else. You are appreciated, and we really do see you, and thanks for everything.
Yes, you're welcome, and it's mutual. I assure you it is definitely mutual. So I'm going to step aside. Let the next poet step up to the mic and say, God bless.
Hey, God bless, Dennis.
God bless. Did much better that time, JT. All right.
Well done, Michael.
And that was Dennis Kahn from Michigan in the number one spot here in our return engagement. The next place we're going to head is the illustrious Missouri. Once again, coming in number two, we're going to go to Sinister. Hello, Sinister. Welcome back.
Good to be back. Good to be back.
All right, man. Well, we're happy to have you.
Earlier, I read you one from earlier this year. This one is a more recent one. This is I've had a struggle of a year, but I've reigned victorious. And this poem's about my victories over this year with mental health and sobriety. So when you're ready.
We are ready, sir, whenever you are.
Rendered. Humbly medicate this monster to serenity. This is not a choice, but a reckoning. Render a lunatic fringe something outside a straitjacket. While not that which has gone to pass, stipulate meaning. Triggers are short value in the greater worth. Used to inject false bravado to gain delusional reason. Only to really unleash mad seasons of hurricane windfalls. Protrusions and cryptic elixirs never fix such ailings. The foreign menagerie. Custom suited now with an arsenal of moral evaluation. Reinforced power bank support system set to save me. These stipulations started via court order were forsaken. Blessed be I that I awoke to render what they gave me. My heart's coming home. Circle is whole again. Love is what saved me. And peace.
Wow. Love is what saved me. So good. So good. That's powerful, man. And you know, I'm sorry to hear you've had a struggle of the year, but it's like you said, you rose victorious. So that's a wonderful thing to hear.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. 10 months sober and climbing.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Just keep the chain going, right? Good for you, man. Good for you. And we hope to hear from you again here soon.
Yes, indeed.
All right.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you, sir. Have a great night, right, okay?
Thank you. You too.
All right. Bye. And that was Sinister calling from the great state of Missouri, the Show Me State, which is an actual nickname for Missouri. All right. Now we're going to be heading to upstate New York. We're going to talk to Zach. Let's hit it now. Hey, Zach. Welcome back, sir.
To be back. This is the best place to be on a Friday night.
Hey, you know, that's what I think. We've spent a lot of time here. I got to tell you, this is where all the cool people hang out.
Hey, it's awesome to finally be part of the cool people crowd.
I've always, you know, Zach, maybe that's a difference. I always assumed I was sitting by myself at the cool kids table.
Hey, the different perspective.
Yeah, I think, or delusion. That's another term for it. All right. I'm going to give you the stage and we will talk after, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
All right.
As Barb mentioned, I send her the poems, my poems, and I send Mama my poems, and I send all you guys all my poems. And this one is I'm going to include in my next book, Food for Thought, 100 Poems That Make You Think. And so this is one I wrote a couple of days ago. It's called Understand and Explain. The reason I brought up Barb's name is because She suggested that I rewrite the ending a little, and I finally looked at it again, and I understand what she means. So the title was originally Understand and Explain, but I'm going to have to change it now to something. But anyways, here we go. Anger, anxiety, depression, fear. Imagine these feelings are a natural disaster. What would they be? Would they be an earthquake, making it hard to stay upright? Do they create rifts that drive you apart from your loved ones? Are they a tsunami, building up until one day they burst, drowning you? Or are they a tornado, just destroying everything in its path? If you can find a way to explain what it feels like when you're angry, anxious, depressed, or afraid, scared, it can be a good start to managing it. End of piece.
Well done, sir. Well done. And I think, you know, well, Barbara being an editor, she generally has really good advice with things like that. But I think, you know, ultimately it is the position of an editor, right? When they tell you something, you have to really feel it. And as the writer, really make the decision. And I applaud you for being open to thinking about things like that. Some people can't.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I know I don't know everything. I'm just starting on my poetry journey. And I mean, you know, you guys have definitely been a big reason why I even really started to take it seriously. And, you know, made me feel like I have a voice, made me feel like, you know, that you guys are interested in what I have to say. And, you know, it's something that I never had before. So it's nice to have that. And, you know, it's nice to be able to rely on being able to hear Dennis's laugh, the best laugh that I've ever heard.
We agree with you, by the way. We've talked about this for years.
Yeah. That thing we talked about, so is that something that you still want, that you were interested in doing?
It is. I'm trying to figure out how to do it. So I think we should talk about it and maybe test something out before we do the show. But we've got a little bit of time, but let's not sit on it. Let's figure it out. It's a all secret right, thing, everybody. Good. I can't tell everybody else what it is.
Right.
All right. So I think it would be fun, though. We'll see how it goes. We'll figure it out. Anyway, Zach, we'll talk about it privately. But, yeah, definitely let's see if we can make it happen.
All right. Sounds good.
All right, sir. Thank you so much. We will talk soon.
Sounds good.
All right. Bye. And that was Zach calling from upstate New York in the number 3 spot here in the return engagement. Now I'm going to be heading to Vancouver, British Columbia to speak once again with Cynthia. Hello, Cynthia. Welcome back.
Hi.
Hello. How's it going over there?
Pretty good. I loved Zach's poem. That was amazing.
He's really expanding, but one thing I really love about his work is that he's expanding, he's growing, but it's still very firmly within a very unique niche that is him. And he's just growing within that space, which I think is great.
It's just the structure is making his voice stronger. It's amazing.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And a lot of times we got to remember that that's actually the job of structure is to clarify and give us some more strength. But it's like songwriting structure. You can write 12-minute, you know, jazz odysseys that never repeat themselves, but a strong structure will actually help clarify and strengthen your ideas. And poetry is the same way.
Very cool. I'm also a screenwriter, and screenwriting is all about structure.
Oh, yeah. Do you do the 3-act structure, or do you follow another method?
The 3-act. So I'm going off topic a little bit, but my mentor was like, I get so obsessed with the math of structure, and I have all these ideas of how to have like 100 characters instead of just 2. And she was just like, okay, put structure aside for a minute and just write something new.
Yeah, see, there you go. Yeah, I think, I mean, I learned 3-act structure, and then I find out TV episodes are 8 acts. And it's like, oh, okay. Okay.
I'm still trying to get my head around all that. And my questions for her, like, is this 6 acts or 8 or 4? And she's just like, okay, just put all that aside. Once you know it, sorry, I promise I'll wrap this up and read my poem. But once you know it, it's inside you. Because what happened when I put it all away and finally did what I was supposed to is that everything kind of came out where it should. My theme came out in dialogue on page 4 by itself where it's supposed to. And
yep. See, that's it.
So there's like, you need structure, and then you need to also keep your art. Zach already kept his art, but I'm still learning how to keep my art, how to keep your own spirit above the structure, but to use the structure to elevate it.
100%. And I think this is a very valid conversation for the poets who are listening to. So, great point.
Just very good, because I'm addicted to screenwriting structure. But I might have to apologize. I don't know how that didn't go over into my poetry, which is totally free verse. So I'm going to read this one.
Perfect.
For someone who's addicted, who's overly and obsessed with structure and screenwriting, here I am reading a free verse poem from Rainforest and Russet. I thought I'd go with another winter poem, but sort of the hope of spring that we feel in winter. So this is a winter tapestry. In silvered cedar lies the hope the garden gives to all. Inviting realm of peace in the depths of winter soil. The tears and memories and hands of all that went before. Listen for movement and stillness. Earth and darkness spun to ochre, like consciousness birthed into light. Waiting for the sky to take back the rain, for pale blue and forest green. Tips of twigs shimmer violet and teal. Swift hummingbirds diving beak first into an aqua pool, like the burst of flavor in a succulent slice of orange. They call, Yumea already sketching the nectar to blossom and pump.
There's that sensual, naturalism that I associate so much with a lot of your poetry.
And thank you so much for giving me a chance to share that. And I do really feel that there's this creation going on inside trees, inside the earth, even inside darkness, that will be a new birth coming. So
yes,
I'm grateful for all that. Also, I just learned you should always bring your glasses when you're middle-aged and you're reading a poem.
You know, I've been having to wear glasses for the last, JT has been like a year and a half or something right now.
Yeah, thereabouts. Yeah.
About a year and a half, and I gotta say, the amount of times that I have been mistaken for my father has convinced me that LASIK is my only option. And then, no offense to my father, by the way, just
but you don't want to look older. I just forget I only need them to read, so I was going from memory by mistake. So
hey, there you go. That's probably a good option too. I don't know. I'd like to. I live such an action packed lifestyle, Cynthia. I can't have glasses on. I need to be able to tuck and roll and wrestle at a moment's notice.
Actually, I don't know why I can't make it 10 feet over to the fridge to get them. But anyway, thank you.
Hey, Cynthia, thanks so much. And we appreciate you, and we'll talk to you soon, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thank you. And that was Cynthia calling from Vancouver, British Columbia, in the number 4 spot. Now we're going to be heading to the fabulous state of Connecticut to visit with Barbara once again. Hello, Barbara. Welcome back.
Hi, Michael.
Hello. I don't know what the odds are of you being behind Cynthia each time, but it's pretty funny.
I think we're always going to be next to each other.
Hey.
If Cynthia and I are in the same place, we will be near each other.
I can imagine that. Yes.
We're good friends.
Oh,
Cynthia is another good friend that I've never met, but we will meet eventually, sometime.
Yes, that you will. That you will. It's this has been a really good energy show tonight. It's been very light this evening. I mean, even though we've talked about serious things, I think just being able to be in contact with each other is such a lovely thing.
I'll tell you something. I had to call. I'll talk about it afterward, but I'm going to read my poem, then I'll tell you what happened tonight. So,
okay.
My poem is called Awakening of Hope. I don't think I've ever read it on here. I think I wrote it, and then I think I was going to read it on the show, but then I don't know. I don't even remember when I wrote it, but I know that I wrote it maybe this month, somewhere in this month. I think after the election I read it. Okay, so Awakening of Hope. I had locked my hope wrapped in a soft blanket inside a strong box kept close to my heart when its existence seemed perilous, for I feared it would be extinguished forever. It sat there, safe from the chaos around us, and I fed it with good news and inspiration whenever I felt it needed some cheer. And when I needed the comfort of hope, I snuggled close to it and prayed that soon I would be able to open it up so it could once more fuel my life. And yesterday, the time came when it seemed safe to bring it out into the world. I held it in my hands as I listened to the ones who spoke in language my hope needed. And I opened its box and unwrapped it, so fragile and wasted in my hand. It stirred and fed on the nourishing words we all had longed to hear for so long. My hope grew and flourished and soon came to rest by my side as an equal. Then, while I was rejoicing in the splendor of a long-awaited victory, my hope slipped inside of me and took its place inside my heart. We had become one again, and joy spread throughout my body, causing me to dance and laugh, screaming exultations of delight. End poem.
I think that's you're saying a lot of things there that a lot of people can really resonate with nowadays.
Yeah, this is me. This is me. I felt it. After the election, I screamed with joy, and I haven't screamed with joy in a very long time. And intermittently that day, I screamed with joy. I was so happy. So I guess that was the day that I wrote this, but it may have been the day after. Anyway, what I want to tell you is my group, Greenwich Pen Women, is going to give everybody in the group a gift. We had thought we're having this, we always have this holiday luncheon, but this time we have to have a Zoom holiday luncheon. So we thought maybe we would deliver food to everybody, but then the logistics of that became so crazy. I mean, there's like 60 people, and delivering food.
That's a lot.
Individually,
yeah.
To 60 people is crazy. So we had thought maybe we'd put it in a central area and people would come get it. But then we realized with COVID, how could we do that? We'd have to have the tables socially distanced and with all production. So my friend knows this place in Vermont, Burdick's. I don't know if you know it. And they make these adorable little chocolates. And one of them is, one box is penguins, and the other is mice. So we decided on the penguins. So our group is going to buy everybody in the group a penguin, you know, a set of penguins. So we set it up so that if you wanted one, you had to send an email to say you wanted it, because some people didn't want it because it's chocolate and they can't have it and whatever, and I shouldn't be having it, I'm diabetic, but I have people in my house, so I won't eat it all. So I was making phone calls tonight to people to see if they, you know, missed the email. And everybody that I called and actually had a conversation with said, thank you so much for calling. I mean, like, really, like, thank you so much for calling me.
Yeah.
And letting me know. And it's like people are... they're just like, when you call them, it's like water. You know, they're so thirsty for people.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, the social interaction is massive right now, isn't it?
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah, it is. It's really amazing how much people want to talk with people.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my little thing tonight. You probably have people. So I'm going to get off the phone and say thank you so much, Michael, for a great, 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 great show. And you made it happen, even though you're quarantined.
Yeah, well, I mean,
a house away from JT.
I mean,
you guys are amazing.
Hey, JT pulled
really
it together.
Are.
Yeah, he does a great job. But you're a part of it too. And thank you so much, Barbara. We appreciate you. And stay safe, okay?
You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you for this program. And I'm sad that, you know, we're not going to be able to hear you much longer. But I missed last week. But I'll try to come every week.
Well, I'll do a public announcement. So I've done the announcement on the show. I've done several videos and nothing, none of them just felt right. I think I'm just going to have to do it and stop overthinking it. But I'm going to do a video and put it up on, you know, like social media and all that. So, but here's the thing. We will have World Poetry Magazine and we'll be doing these shows every quarter. So like every 3 months, we'll do a show like this too. So it won't be the last time, but we'll still be around.
Okay.
All
right. Well, you take care and have a safe and happy Thanksgiving.
You as well. You as well. We'll talk to you soon. Okay. All right.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. And that was Barbara Kahn from Connecticut in the number 5 position. Now we're going to head to Alabama and visit with Stan once again. Hello, Stan. Welcome back.
Oh, thank you. It's great to be back.
It's always great to hear your voice, my friend. And how do you think the show has been from your angle over there?
Oh, are you kidding me? This has been outstanding tonight. Everybody has just been wonderful tonight. Really.
I've got to agree with you, my friend. I've got to agree with you. And I know it might feel a little intimidating, but what do you have for us?
Well, what I have is like Barbara did that one from the garden, which was off of my quote. And that quote was actually a line that came into my head that I just never got the opportunity to put it in a poem.
Oh, no
kidding. And knowing my absent-mindedness, I thought, sooner or later, this thing's going to slip away from me. So it became my turn at the garden to pick out the words and the secondary prompt. And I thought, I'm going to use this as the prompt. That way I know it's there. It's solidly in place. And you heard Barbara's poem and the response. And it just happened to be the same time that Sinister Spittle was our guest poet at the garden. Mm. That couldn't have been more cool than that.
Oh,
that
I
was
imagine.
Just beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I actually had my prompts written to by Sinister himself. Oh man, that just made my day right there.
I hope Sinister's hearing this too. Oh man, well, it sounds great. I mean, that's it's good that you use it, because now instead of just being a line in a poem, it's something that was the basis of all of these poems and all of this work.
No, and they were outstanding, wonderful. So I thought I'd bring my part to this. And the quote was, "The creation of love, not just for pleasure in our existence, but more toward the purpose of it." And I went ahead and kind of fell into one of my usual niches. This ended up being a terse rima. Don't ask me why it just fell that way. And this is Love Collective. Many the reasons given for our human passions, emotional, physical, or something more, each hunger and search for their satisfaction, many fevered and enthralling rites on a moor, sweating primal entwined to gentleness touch, fires of desires to grace of a lover's tears pour. So often the need to possess and hold is such, the bondage so stifling that it can suffocate. Here were fragile heartstrings as captive crushed. Where once love shined, in lack of freedom it mutates, or in false I love you, words not meant but to entice. the betrayal and broken heart change to despair and hate. It is in the giving of one's all you meet love's full price, and in the sharing with others, find your soul's paradise. In peace.
Wow. So Stan, that's a theme I've been having to work through recently myself. And seems very timely for me, but I have a feeling that a piece like that feels timely for almost everybody who hears it, which is a beautiful thing that a poem can do or a song can do, that it meets you where you're at. And I think this really seemed to do that job well. Wonderful job.
Oh, thank you, sir. And I've got to say thank you for this venue. I am going to try to make these weeks count if I can get here on Fridays. And it'll be my pleasure to show up when I can quarterly.
Fantastic, sir. And also we will, like I said, we'll be having a magazine that, you know, other people who haven't been in the show who want to submit, they're going to have to submit another way. But we want to make sure that all the poets who have been so faithful to this show, you know, you have the first kind of pick of being able to put things in there, and you'll have your own special way of submitting things to us. So I will make sure that you guys get all of that information, and we're going to be around. We're not disappearing. We're just changing forms, and we're letting it evolve is what it is. It's not disappearing.
There you go. Again, thank you, my friend.
Thank you, sir. And we will talk to you soon. Okay. Stay safe.
You too.
All right. Good night. And that was Stan calling from Alabama. Now we're going to head to our last caller. She's the one who started the show, so I think it's very fitting. Let's go to Mama Oladeji. Hello, Mama. Are you there? She warned me she might not be up for it, but let's see how she's doing. Hello, Mama. Are you there? All right, maybe not. Maybe give her a few more seconds here, okay? Now, I'll share why here in a moment. All right, okay. I'm going to shut it down now, okay? And so, Mama had told me when I talked to her, and if she hears this and she wants to call back in, she can absolutely do so. But she did say, here she is. Let's get her. Mama, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Fantastic. Happy to hear your voice. All right. So how about this? Before I say anything, let me give you the stage. I'll let you read and we'll talk after, okay?
Okay. Can you hear me through the Bluetooth?
Yeah, we can hear you just fine. You sound good.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to read this poem. It's a strange little poem, but I kind of fell in love with it because I like rocks so much. And the name of the poem is called The Pebble. And it's by somebody named Z. Big Nui Herbert from Poland. And I really like this poem because, like I said, I'm a rock collector. And I never saw the poem. It just kind of popped up. When I read it, I said, this is a real poem because somebody took something that nobody would think of and made it into a poem. And the only way you would really feel this way about this piece is if you really like rocks. And it goes like this. It's called The Pebble. The pebble is a perfect creature, equal to itself, mindful of its limits, filled exactly with pebbly meaning, with a scent which does not remind one of anything, does not frighten anything away, does not arouse desire. Its ardor and coldness are just and full of dignity. I feel a heavy remorse when I hold it in my hand and its nobly body is permeated by soft warmth. Pebbles cannot be tamed. To the end, they will look at us with a calm and very clear eye. That's it.
Oh, mama. I love Dennis says, mama rocks. That's the...
I love that because I like the part where it says that the pebble has no scent and does not remind one of anything. It does not frighten anything away and does not arouse desire. Is equal to itself.
It's a great line.
Mindful of its limits. I'm just a pebble. I mean, I don't do anything. Only person with finding humor in me and loving me is somebody that likes a pebble.
Actually.
Well, thank you for letting me.
Oh, Mama. No, that was a great choice. And, you know, I think it's a cool way to end this evening too, because we've talked about a lot of big topics, and I think going back down to a pebble and recognizing that and ending on a bit of levity is really a good way to wrap this up. So you started the show strong and you're ending it strong, and you shaped this evening quite a bit, so thank you
so much, and I'll see you guys next week, hopefully. Take care.
You too.
Stay safe.
You too.
And remember, the fastest way to cleanse yourself is baby shampoo and Listerine. It takes 20 seconds. It kills the virus in 20 seconds. Baby shampoo and Listerine. You can take your whole shower with it, wash your hair with it, lather down with the baby shampoo, gargle with the Listerine, and jump in the bed. And
JT, I think you need some baby shampoo in that beard of yours, my friend.
I think you're right. I think you're right.
All right.
Some baby shampoo where?
In his beard.
Say it again.
JT has a beard. Okay. He's a pretty amazing. It's kind of the Norse style beard. It's large.
Okay. Yeah. Well, whatever you all need to do, stay safe, because I want to see everybody here.
Yeah.
For next week. Okay.
And Dennis, yes, there will be an anniversary show. By the way, we turn 8 years old next week, everybody. I didn't mention this. We turn 8 years old next week. And so, yes, there will be an anniversary show next week.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Mama, we appreciate you. We love you. Take care, okay? Stay safe, too, and we'll talk to you next time.
Thank you.
All right. And that was Mama Ladeji calling from Cleveland, Ohio, and rounding out the return engagement for us. Everybody, it's been an absolutely lovely evening. Thank you so much for spending your Friday evening with us. We have four more Friday nights from here on.
Yeah.
Four more. It's crazy. I don't even know what to say. Ooh. That also means we have five Fridays until Christmas.
That's right.
So so make sure to invite people. And by the way, I'm going to throw this out. I forgot to mention this earlier. So I talked about last week, we had not received enough submissions for the anthology 2020. We're going to do a 2020 anthology. I've just kind of got my mind made up about this. We're just going to have it out later than Christmas, because we're just going to have to push and get some more work in. So we're willing to entertain it. But if you want to, you know, if you submitted things, great. We do have it. No worries. If you want to submit more, you can do that. If you are still in touch with some other people who've called into the show who might have work that might want to contribute, this is a great way for us to put this out and commemorate our time together here on World Poetry. I'm going to be putting some work into it. I have a feeling JT will be doing so also. And it's something that I want to definitely have on my bookshelf for many years to come also. So consider that. But for this evening, from JT, from myself, from Ursa, the studio dog, from Novia, the studio cat, and from Hemingway, the studio dog of World Poetry Open Mic Studio B, we want to say thank you. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. Stay safe. We love you. And until next time, keep on writing. Good night.